Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. Great to see all of you here. Those joining us on Facebook Live and live stream, welcome. And I am looking forward to what God is going to do in this service today. How about you? Did you come with expectation? Did you come knowing that God is going to move? Amen. Amen. Just before we begin worshiping the Lord together, let me just tell you about our schedule for next week. A little different from our normal schedule. Of course, camp meeting begins on Tuesday and goes all the way through Friday. Camp meeting in Tioga. And if you can go to all or a part of camp meeting, we encourage you to do so. You'll be blessed. It's always an amazing, amazing week, kind of the highlight of the year in some ways. So go and be blessed. With that in mind, we're going to modify our service schedule, our church schedule this week. There will be no Tuesday evening prayer. First Tuesday prayer this Tuesday will be dismissed in light of camp meeting, as will Wednesday Bible study. Wednesday night Bible study will also be dismissed with camp meeting in view. So make a note of that, and we'll come back together here on campus next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So that will be very important to note on your schedule. Last thing I want to remind you of, a week from Wednesday night on July the 10th, we'll have special guests with us, the Michael Benson family, missionaries to Benin. These are friends of ours. They're wonderful people. You get to know them. You'll fall in love with them. Amazing, amazing missionaries have done some, God has done some amazing things through them in their field of labor. And you're going to want to hear all about it. You're going to want to come out and see what God is doing in Benin on July the 10th. So make a note of that and be ready for that presentation. Amen. Stand with me if you will. I'm ready to worship the Lord. The old song says, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. If you feel that way today, would you clap your hands to Jesus as the praise team leads us into his presence? God bless you.
Love in the morning. His light lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and the people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judea are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above the God. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards and he lives of his faithful ones, for he guards and delivers them from the hands of the wicked. Light shines on the righteousness and joy on the upright in his heart. Rejoice in the Lord. You are his righteousness, and praise his holy name. Let's rejoice with him today.
Welcome. We're so glad you're here, and thank you for joining us today in worship as we celebrate the goodness and the greatness of God. Thank the Lord. It's great to see everybody here today, and thank you so very much for coming. I mentioned this Wednesday night. Would like to mention it again this morning with permission, but again, we want to congratulate Daniel and Heather
And now, Brother Ben and Sister Ethel, for the birth of son, grandson. Thank the Lord. Congratulations. I mean it. Thank the Lord. We welcome Jude Benjamin. Thank the Lord. And he was born 9 pounds, 7 ounces, I believe. Is that right? Pretty healthy boy. Just want them to know what it's going to cost to feed him when he's about 14 years old. He might need some help, some money, and what have you. So we congratulate them and certainly looking forward to their soon return. Thank the Lord. Let me keep you standing for 1 minute. We'll have you seated in just a moment. I mentioned this Wednesday night, and it grieves me to have to mention this on Sunday morning. I'm not going to go into the detail I did Wednesday night. If you want to know what I said about it Wednesday night, you go back and watch it. But we're going to ask, if you are a member of Grace Church, especially in leadership, if you're contacted by someone from another church, another pastor, leader, song, music director, whoever it may be, to participate in an event at that church, if you would ask that person to call me before you commit, yes or no, and you and I'll have a conversation about it, and then I'll notify that person, yay or nay. This is running rampant for some reason. A lot of churches are experiencing it, and we have a lot of wonderful people here at Grace Church, and I am so thankful for that, and I'm honored that people would contact our folks to come and participate in their events and whatnot. But I believe your home church is your first priority. On Wednesday and Sunday, your home church needs to be your priority. So thank you for that. If you would do that, we would certainly appreciate it. Look at your neighbor and give them a high five and say, God bless you. Thank the Lord. God bless you this morning, and you may be seated. Thank you, praise team, for taking us again to the throne of God. It's been a great time of worship and rejoicing. And I'm going to introduce my message today, my sermon here today, just a little bit different. And God bless you. Again, it's great to see all of you. We need only a small bit of it. Yet sometimes we don't seem to have enough. It doesn't just see the obvious, but takes hold of the unthinkable. Sometimes it defies logic, yet it's not blind. The courageous love it, the weak shun it. The intellectuals question it, the simple go through with it. It's a choice, it's a gift, it's all that is needed to walk with Him. It sees the invisible, it believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. It is dead to doubts, dumb to discouragements, and blind to impossibilities. It can move mountains, but without it, it's impossible to please God. I'm talking to you this morning about faith. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning, just simply faith. Everybody say faith. What is faith? We don't need to look too far, too hard, too long in the Bible until we find a definition of it. The most common definition given in the Bible, I believe, is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It's my text today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Notice verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report because of their faith. Where is Sister April this morning? I need you on board with me, Sister April. I want all of you this morning to let the Lord speak to you and to let the Lord have His way here this morning. One translation of Hebrews 11 said, now faith is confidence. Everybody say confidence. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance. Everybody say assurance. Assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. They were commended for their faith. This is a complex definition, and maybe we need some further explanation of it. The words confidence and the word assurance are very complex words that are difficult to translate into English. Confidence in the Greek language, to the best of our ability to define it, means, which actually means the underlying thing. It's more like a foundation. So faith is the foundation for things hoped for. Foundation is that which we can build all of our hopes and dreams on, if you will. Another translation of this verse said, in faith, things hoped for become a reality. Oswald Chambers said, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. I want to say that again. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. The word assurance means to us in the English language, it means a legal document which is given as a means of assurance. It's a deed which is given to us. It's an awesome definition of faith. Faith is like a deed that is given through which we can see what we haven't seen so far. I want you to notice today, and I'll refer to what is called the roll call of heroes in the Bible. I'm going to use a very edited version by my choosing today, but I want you to notice what made these people what they were, who caused them to arrive at the place they arrived at. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the Bible said, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should go after, receive a foreign inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, through faith. And also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mentions of the departing of the children of Israel from Egypt and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he forsook Egypt. By faith the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. And what shall I more say? for time would not fail. Time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of the David also and Samuel and other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. I want to speak to our intercessors. You may be seated. I want to speak to our prayer warriors. You people have become a small army, if you will, but you are carrying some powerful weapons with you. I've heard about your prayer meeting this past Tuesday morning, and this message felt out of tune to me, and it felt out of time until just prior to walking in onto the platform this morning. I then understood, I realized that we were in the will of God. I submit today to our prayer warriors and our intercessors the reading in Hebrews 11:33, and I'll read it again. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and have stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and have escaped the edge of the sword. Our church has been under a spiritual attack for the number of weeks, but I rise to come to you today in the name of Jesus and tell all of you that through the same way they won their victory throughout the Bible, we will win ours also in the same fashion. And it's through our faith and confidence in God. God will not allow you to experience what you're not able to bear. And I preach to you faith. I preach to you faith. If you've ever had faith, use it now, and we'll watch the enemy suffer a huge defeat in the name of Jesus. So, what does this faith look like? How do we manifest it? How do we apply it? How do we know if we're walking by faith, whether we are walking in this confidence and assurance or not? I want to preach to you today, and I want to throw this out with all of my might. The first evidence of faith in our life is that faith steps out and never backs out. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how fierce the enemy appears to be. Faith steps out, and faith never backs out. And faith will always be the first part of us that steps out. And you won't see a mighty move of God in your life or our church until somebody steps out. I'm tired of just kind of feeling like we're under attack and, oh God, what are we going to do? I've heard it said, and there's a big part of me that agrees with it. It's even like some of our children, some of our babies, and some of our young people have come under some kind of a crazy attack from the enemy. There's been some crazy things going on in the past month or so with our church families. I won't put my faith where my mouth is right now. And I submit to you today with everything I have in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You're treading on the wrong property. You've entered into the wrong family. You're tempting the wrong person here. I submit to Grace Church. We're the people of God. We're chosen of God. And I'm putting my faith where my mouth is right now. Faith steps out, and I'm not backing out. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. We're going to have victory in the name of Jesus. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes. You may be seated. I want to go back to the 2016 flood to illustrate this point. If I asked for a show of hands, I'd be amazed to see even one go up to say, I don't remember that. The 2016 flood is something we'll never forget. In my mind, when God spoke to Joshua and told him, it's time for you to direct the children of Israel, my people, into their promised land, he didn't wait for the convenience of a drought. He chose for them to cross the Jordan River at flood stage. Now, who in their right mind, you listen to Pastor today, these Jews weren't stupid. They knew they were being flooded. They had to back away from that river a ways. They had to back up just a little bit because the tent was getting some water in it. And sure, I suppose today they were even praying, God, stop that water right there. Stop that water right there. We don't want to flood out. I can promise you there were people here at Grace Church praying their heart out that God would protect their home and their family from that grievous flood of 2016. In my mind, it was a situation like this when God spoke to Joshua and said, now is a good time to cross. Grace Church, you listen to Pastor today. When the elements may seem to be so severely against the church, the world is against the church, the devil is against the church, our government is against the church. Our own federal government, people we elect to serve us in office, have turned out to be far more than we've expected them to be. And they are vehemently against Christian people, and you all know that right now. I anticipate in the near future people being jailed for doing what I'm doing right now. And it's always at a time like this when we're wanting God to push back the darkness. It's God saying, I want you to get up on your feet. I want you to put the ark of God on your shoulders. I want you to bear it towards the sky. And I want you to take dominion and take authority over those flooding waters that's invading your promised land. And if you step out, I'll cause the waters to back up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Faith always steps out and never looks back. I was talking to someone the other night. We shared and reminiscing the story of when the Bunch's house was flooded, when they lived on Benton Lane, when I pulled up in the driveway, when my eyes saw all of their belongings out on the side of the road to be picked up by the trash truck, literally. I saw a small table on the sidewalk. Brother Dave retrieved a Bible out of somewhere in his house and had gone under the water and had flooded by the waters, and it was all dark and dirty and nasty, and he had it open so the sun could kind of dry it out a little bit, and something came all over me. You talk about a step of faith, an act of faith. The Bible can get drowned in however much flood water the devil can pour over it, but the power of that book still remains, and I preach to us today the power of God on the inside of us. It's not dead. It's not died. It's not going away, but it lives on. You intercessors here on Tuesday morning, God is hearing your prayer, and he wants the church to know that if you step out on faith, it'll bring you to a place of power where you'll never back up. I want to remind you of the story of Peter walking on the water. Anybody heard that story? I want you to think about the context of that story. And we've heard it preached 1,000 times. April, Melanie, Sister Landry, others here today that's been bringing the house down in these Tuesday morning prayer meetings. God's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. God's coming to you. He's coming to us in a very dark night of evil and despair. And whether we're afraid of the storm or whether we are afraid of the way he's manifesting himself, doesn't matter. It's still fear. But in the midst of the disciples' terror that night, Peter had the faith. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. I want you to think about that. Think about that. All the evidence that Peter needed that that was God manifest in flesh is that God was walking on the water to him. That's pretty strong evidence. God, where their boat is about to sink, you have this one individual man walking across the water like he's out for an evening stroll. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if the Bible didn't say somewhere that he wasn't even wet when he got to that boat. It takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of courage. But Peter looked at him and said, Lord, if it's thou, bid me come. What I don't know and what the Bible doesn't say is that Peter, I'm not sure he knew what he was asking. Jesus could have very kindly asked, for crying out loud, Simon Peter, if you're going to come to me, how do you think you're going to make it? I don't think that thought was really entertained by either one of them. God knew how he was going to make it, and Peter didn't question. Faith. Everybody say faith. We're too analytical. We've got to go memorize a few more verses, and we've got to go study, and we've got to pray and fast for 3 more days. But sometimes when you're in the place where some of us are at right now, you don't have time for that. The days don't pass long enough for you to do any fasting. You just look at Jesus and say, if it's you, bid me come. And if you invite me to come, you'll make the way. See, some of you aren't hearing what I'm saying. We got to have doctors' permission. We've got to have permission from a court. We've got to have permission from a judge. We've got to have permission from family. We've got to have permission from this one and that one. Why don't somebody get tired of that and say, God is calling me to another level of faith and power and promise, and I'm going to where he's at no matter what it takes. And if he bids me come, he'll prepare the way for me to get there. Sit down. Watch this. So Peter steps out. Faith steps out, but it don't step back. He didn't put his foot in the water and say, never mind. A lot of people do that. I know a lot of you have done that. You'll step out and you feel that water and it's stormy and it's, it don't feel too good. Now, if you ask me to step out on water in a swimming pool on a sunshiny day, that might be different. Very rarely. The circumstances accommodate a miracle. It's very rare. It's very rare. Notice the screen. Walking on water has nothing to do with the water. How we get from here to there, how we get to here to our next level of spirituality has nothing to do with how we get there. What's important, it's what's waiting for us on the other end of it. That's what we have to look at. That's what we have to see. Peter didn't question the water. He didn't listen to anybody's comments about the water. It has nothing to do with the water. It has everything to do with faith. And faith has everything to do with hearing the voice of God. All right, sit down. I'm going to say this a little bit different. Somebody commented, they don't attend this church, but somebody commented, my presentation this past Wednesday night was kind of raw. That's kind of the only way I know how. I don't know how to be more finesseful. If that's not a word, it is now. Pastor's done it over and over, and I don't sound like a hero, but I've learned it through the years. If God tells you to come to Him and you stay in the boat, you're a fool. You hear me? There's people here today is questioning everything. I don't understand about all this worship and aisle running. And I want to tell Braylon and Aaron and you guys, y'all need to slow down a little bit. You have some 5 and 6 year olds that's trying to keep up with y'all, man. Y'all just back down on the accelerator throttle just a little bit, having a hard time keeping up. I've seen people almost run over, and these girls are wearing high heel shoes, for crying out loud. They can't run that fast. So anyway, but if God speaks to you and says, come, and you stay where you are, you're a fool. You're foolish. You're foolish. Faith steps out and never steps back. Now, it can be flooding waters. It can be flooding waters that Joshua encountered, or it can be stormy waters. Both of these incidences involved water. Impossible to walk on and impossible to contain. And God said, come. I feel the Spirit of the Lord, a deep rumbling of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Come. Come. When God gives the word, we step out in faith and obedience. That's what I'm doing right now. Joni Erickson Tata, if I'm pronouncing her last name right, said, faith is not the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's simply taking God and His word and taking the next step. Just do that. Just somebody do that today. Somebody just do that today. That I'm not asking you to travel from here to Alaska in faith. I'm asking you to take one step out of your chair and see where it leads you. One step in your prayer life and see where it leads you. One step in belief in God and the promise of God and see where it takes you. He's not asking you to make the whole journey of a lifetime, but take one single step out of where you are right now and see what God can do in your life. Everybody clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody here right now needs to frequently remind yourself that God is with you. Remind yourself of that. I do it every day. Why? Why? Because if God be for you, God is with me. He will never fail me. I can count on Him always. He's helping me right now to take the first step. So if faith steps out and never backs out, number two, excuse my being raw here this morning. Number two, faith breaks out and never freaks out. Them people, them Jewish people crossing the Jordan River that day, when the water started rolling back, it didn't freak them out. When the land turned into dry land, that didn't freak them out. Look at all that water just piling up, just deep, deep, deep. Let's go. Y'all not hearing me right now. It's just this simple. When faith steps out, when faith breaks out, it doesn't freak out. When Peter took his foot and put it over into that water, he didn't freak out and say, I'm not doing this. No, sir, he didn't do that. I want you to go with me in the Old Testament to Daniel chapter 3, when those three Hebrew boys stood tall and trusted everything they had in God, and it seemingly backfired, and they were escorted to a fiery furnace. Do you understand that you would die before you ever got in the furnace? They heated it so hot, seven times hotter, the Bible said. You would die when you approached. The men that brought them to the furnace died. Sit and mumble and grumble and say, well, I'd sure like to do that, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about this, and I don't know about this, and I don't know what's going to happen in my family, and I don't know. When faith breaks out, if you ever take that step, God's got you. Don't freak out. Just go with it. Just go with it. Just go with it. So standing in front of that blazing furnace, they were still unfazed. Andrew Murray said, faith expects from God what is beyond all expectation. Has anybody ever heard the concept of a time machine? Is there anybody here my age or older that wishes there was such a thing? I promise you, 20 years ago, I'd have been running around all over this building preaching this sermon. The concept of a time machine, it's always fascinated me. What if it was possible to go back in time and change some things? There are some men here today, if you could go back, you probably wouldn't marry that old nag. Some of you may go back and say, man, I wouldn't have had all these kids. There's just that time machine. You know our problem with time is we can't control it. The reason we don't like the time machine or the time laws as they are today, the reason is we don't like the thought that there is one thing that we actually cannot control. The one thing that keeps slipping out of the very grasp and something we cannot reverse is time. Why do we get so stressed and disappointed and discouraged and depressed? Because there are some things that are out of our control, and the outside factors play a role on our emotional status when we want instantaneous result. Let me give to all of us here today a stress buster. It's called faith. Notice the screen. Depression is the emotional result of hopelessness. Joy is the emotional result of hope. And peace is the emotional result of faith. Breaking out of the rut, breaking out of the stress, breaking out of the bondage, breaking out of the disease, breaking out of the normal, and grabbing a hold of the supernatural. Doubt sees what currently is and no more. Hope sees what can be, but is not yet. But faith sees what will be as if it were now. Bible example, when Ezekiel was commanded by God to take a little trip to a valley, and before him was a valley full of dry, dead bones. The, This wasn't a dead army still in the ICU unit on oxygen, on a respirator, and with all IVs. These people had been dead for years. Do you understand me? There was no meat left. There was no flesh left. There was nothing left but bones. And God asked them the most stupid, ridiculous question on this planet. It's one that a human has no idea about. When God asked him, can these bones live? According to human reasoning, not a chance. Now, if you could roll back time, if we could go back about 20 years, it might be a different story. But they're too far gone. There's people here today that I've questioned. Are you too far gone? But I walk into this pulpit every Sunday morning and I preach my heart out to you. Because faith rises up on the inside of me. It says if you can look at a skeleton where that skeleton is done falling apart, they're not even connected anymore. You got one part of somebody over there and another part of somebody over there, and their skeleton scattered around like the grain, like the sand on the seashore. But God says, can they live? My only answer to that is God only you know. And God takes that acceptance of his knowledge and says, okay, I want you to step out on faith right now. I want your faith to break out. But when you start seeing what you are about to see, don't freak out, because it's fixing to get crazy weird. You're going to see something so bizarre. You're going to tell your grandkids about this, and they're going to laugh in your face. But he preached to them. And he said, son of man, preach to the east wind and the west wind and the north and south wind. I want God to come from every direction. I want God to come from in front of you, from behind you, and on each side of you. I want the word of God to surround you. I want the word of God to envelop somebody right now. I want you to know right now that you're not just hearing the words of a man, but you're hearing the voice of God. Can you live again? Can your life be changed? Can your life be made worth living? Yes, it can. And however God chooses to do that in you is not going to bother me a bit. Faith, don't freak out. Faith, don't freak out. I'm going to tell this story. I don't tell it very often because people don't believe it. But I saw it with my own eyes, and I had other people. There was a Grace Church at the time, saw it, and others affirmed it. We had a flood before 2016. I don't remember what year it was. But Baker flooded bad. And I tried to get to the church that day. It rained all night, and I knew Groom Road flooded really bad. A lot of you know that. And we were on the low end of it. There was a big drainage ditch right by our church where all the water drained to, so we were on the low end of it. We had worked so hard on that little building, Brother Chuck. We worked so hard. He spent his number of hours working in that little building. And I finally got to the Walmart at Plank and Groom and was able to pull into the parking lot. Saw a police officer and I said, can you tell me how it is down the road at Groom and MacHugh? He said, all I can tell you is there's a car at that intersection that's flooded and the water's over the headlights of that car. I said, thank you, and I left, went back home, and I said, well, we didn't make it. No doubt our church flooded. I don't tell this story very often. But when faith breaks out, it don't freak out. When I finally was able to get to our church the next day, the waters had receded. And I thought it was odd that there was a branch sitting on a branch of a tree sitting on the right in front of the front doors of the church. was about as long as from me to Brother Dave. The part of that branch that was attached to the tree was about 4 or 5 inches in diameter. And I realized that that branch had floated in those floodwaters. Duh. And when the water receded, it landed right on the doormat. It's right on the doormat, the rug, the front doors of our church. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. It doesn't make me any difference. I was there. I'm not delusional, and I know what happened. The doors, the front doors of our church, had about that much gap of airspace underneath. There was nothing to keep water out of that building. But when I walked in that building, there was not a drop of water anywhere in that building. We saw on the sides of that building water marks about to 12 to 13 inches deep, and not a drop of that water got into that building. So, most of you believe that, but there's a few people here saying, sure, sure. Amy was there, I think, during that time. And we did no repair on that building after that flood. Chuck Schwann was there during that time. We did no repair. I think Boo and Melanie was there during that time, if I'm not mistaken. We didn't do any repair on that building. Why? Because not one drop of water got in it. When faith breaks out, it doesn't freak out. Number three, when faith reaches out, it never sits out. You can't have faith and stay where you are. The greatest evidence of a lack of faith is when people don't move. But when people do have faith, you can't keep them in their chair. Jesus is our supreme example of this. He was continually reaching out to people. He was always about lost people. Everything Jesus did reached out to the unchurched. He was always around people who needed help. He always reached out to people who hardly knew him. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. When he left this earth, he left us with the charge and the mission to follow his example of reaching and ministering to lost people. You can be sinfully lost, but you can also be religiously lost. You can be addiction lost, and you can still be habit free lost. In other words, you may deem yourself to be the perfect sinner. You also may deem yourself to be the perfect saint. In either case, you can still, in the eyes of God, be lost. I need some people in Grace Church to start being real sensitive right now. When he left this earth, he gave us a charge and the mission to follow his example of reaching and ministering to lost people. Yes, he met with the woman at the well of Samaria, but he also met with the Pharisees. He met with the culturally lost, the religiously lost. He ministered to the thief on the cross who was sinfully lost. To accomplish this, I believe he has gifted every one of us with gifts and abilities that enable us to engage in ministry to others. 1 Corinthians 12:9 calls it the gift of faith. It's given to the church not only for the edification of the church, but for the extension and growth of the kingdom of God. Paul said in Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The word believe in this text is the same word for faith. to give them confidence and assurance. So now, how can they have faith unless someone comes and tells them? Faith is reaching out to people and telling them to, in turn, to have faith in Jesus. This is what Jesus did for Peter when he stepped out on the water. He was religiously lost, even though he was a disciple. His faith lacked necessary fundamentals, so he was lost, even though he was a disciple. He was a follower of Christ, but he still manifested that night evidence of his lostness, because when his faith reached out and stepped out, it didn't freak out, but at the last minute, it backed out. And there's people sitting here today that are lost in one way or another. And you've had your moments where you were within the reach of a hand to God, and at the last minute, you pulled it back. It's interesting to me that Jesus saved him anyway. Then when he was going down into the water, he screamed out, "Jesus, save me." And he did. You prayer warriors, you altar workers, you listen to Pastor right now. Look at the screen. Sister April, Melanie, others, the task is not to get God to do something I think needs done, but to become aware of what God is doing so that I can participate in it. That's the point. That's the point. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here today. God is indeed doing something mighty here at Grace Church. And are we as a church, through faith, ready to participate? Or are there some people here today that's pulling back? There's been times when you manifested faith and it didn't freak out, but now you're going to the next level, whatever that is, of being used for God, and now you're wanting to back out. Same reason for Peter. You take your eyes off Jesus and you get fearful. Abraham made a mistake when he was in Egypt when he offered his wife to Pharaoh. Moses struck a rock in anger. David committed adultery and had a man murdered. Peter denied Jesus three times. And all of his disciples, except one, deserted Jesus at the cross. Paul started out by killing Christians before he became one. People live at all levels of lostness. And there's people here this morning that are lost, and this is where I'm asking people to be sensitive right now. We have had ahead of us one of the most powerful altar services we've ever had, if I can get people to work with me a little bit here today. There's people here today that God has chosen, God has called, God has gifted, and you're afraid. You're afraid. Your faith has freaked out on you, and you're stepping back. And there's going to be a child of God that may take you by the hand in a few minutes and say, "Come with me. I'll help you make that journey back into the arms of Jesus." Follow that person. If you're wise, you'll follow that person. Stand with me this morning as our musicians come. I want to tell you another story that I've never told. I've never shared this from the pulpit, and I'm a little anxious about doing it today, but it illustrates my point as to who God can use. There is a very powerful evangelist in our movement. He has preached around the world. He has been mentored by some of the greatest faith preachers United Pentecostal Church has ever seen develop. I'm not going to call his name. You listen to me tonight or today. I was talking to a pastor friend who also knows this man very well. And it was on the morning after one of those long nights during COVID that God woke me up that I've shared with y'all that happened to me twice. God woke me up. I woke up one night speaking in tongues. I didn't know what was happening to me. But under that great cloak of darkness of COVID-19, God came into my room. I woke up, Sister Murphy, and I said, God is talking to me right now. I've preached to you bits and pieces of the things that God spoke to me that night in my bedroom. Well, the second time it happened, this pastor friend had told me that this evangelist was frustrated and confused about COVID and what it was doing to the church and what have you. Got to be very careful here, but I'll just say that he went away for a while. He went to a certain place. I know where he went. He didn't take his family. He pulled his RV to a lonely spot just somewhere here in the U.S. And he told this pastor friend of mine, he said, I'm not coming home until God gives me an answer. Listen to me, folks. That night I had that divine encounter with God in my bedroom. I got up and called that pastor friend. And I said, you call that evangelist. Don't tell him who said it. Don't mention my name. But you call him and tell him that you have a preacher friend that heard from God last night and he needs to pack up and come home. One of this man's problems, his churches were shut down and he had nowhere to preach. It was obviously affecting him financially, but more than that, his ministry was just coming to a screeching halt and he didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. And he said, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to stay in this place until I hear from God. He had been there about 2 weeks when this pastor friend of mine called him. He said, I've heard from a neighboring pastor. And he said, he told me to call you and tell you to come home. Everything is going to be okay. It humbles me to tell this story. The man said, okay. He was home for about 2 weeks when his phone started ringing. And pastor said, I need you to come and minister at my church. We've just gathered back on campus, and my folks are hurting, and I need your ministry. And he has been busy in ministry since that time. God used Pastor Murph to help someone that was so close to God, but so lost. So close to God, but so lost. God has brought this church and has come through the conduit of prayer, fasting. God always does this when there's another level coming. I had an experience about a month ago, and I've not hardly talked to anybody about it, where God just turned me inside out for well over an hour. I didn't even see it coming. I was mowing my yard on my ZTR and I begged God to not let the moment in. God wants to use somebody here today to take someone else by the hand who is lost. I'm not referring to being a sinner. You're lost in where you are right now. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. It seems like your family is kind of splintered. It seems your home is splintered. You don't know where to go. God called you out of the ship you were in to walk into his will. I'm ministering in the Holy Ghost right now. God called you out of a place you were in God called you out of a place you were in and said, come to me. You stepped out. You didn't freak out. But something has happened, and now you've backed out. God's calling you back. He wants to lift you up out of the waters that you're sinking in. And he wants to use a child of God here this morning to take you by the hand and help lead you back into the grace and mercy of God. I want us to wait just for a moment on the Holy Ghost. I don't know what God wants to do right now. I'm not in a hurry. This has been a very deep and powerful message. If you knew the origin of it, how it came to be today, I kind of argued with God over preaching this today. It felt out of sync. It felt out of cadence with where our church is at. But now I know I'm in the will of God today, because there's people here today, when you first came, there's a moment in your life when you stepped out for God, but now you step back. God wants you to keep coming. He wants you to keep coming. And I believe God is speaking to people here right now that says, go to that person and just ask them if they'd like to come down to the front with you. So if somebody taps you on the shoulder, takes you by the hand, obey that. Grace Church, I need for you to work with me right now. If you feel somebody on your heart right now, go to that person. They just need, don't pressure, but just take them by the hand and say, when everybody comes up to the front, I want you to come with me. I want you to walk back into the presence of God with me today. I want you to be revived with me today. I want you and I both to feel that holy unction of the Holy Ghost again today. I want us to be used of God today. I want us to get back into the kingdom of God today. This is a God moment. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I'll wait here just for a moment. I'll wait just for a moment. God is talking to somebody right now. God's reaching for somebody right now. Let him, let the Holy Ghost work. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This is beautiful. I've never experienced anything like this before in my life. And somebody let the Holy Ghost work right now. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing right now. But there's still people coming. There's still people coming. But I wonder if everybody can come on right now. We're okay right now. There may be more that come, but can the rest of us come right now and let the Lord have his way? Somebody step out, but don't back out. Come on, step out, but don't back out. This is your God moment. This is a God thing. Let him have his way. Oh, God, let him have his way right now. Come on, Grace Church. Somebody let the Lord have his way. We're not here to embarrass anybody. We just want to do God's will. We want to do God's will. We want to do God's will. Somebody let him have his way right now.